Scripture reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was the light, but came to bear witness about the light. 日本語で読んでください。 じゃあ、玉川さん、読んでください。
ヨハネによる福音書1章1節から8節までをお読みします。はじめに言葉があった。言葉は神と共にあった。言葉は神であった。この方ははじめに神と共におられた。すべてのものはこの方によって作られた。作られたものでこの方によらずにできたものは一つもない。この方に命があった。この命は人の光であった。光は闇の中に輝いている。闇はこれに打ち勝たなかった。神から使わされたヨハネという人が現れた。この人は証しのために来た。光について証しするためであり、すべての人が彼によって信じるためである。彼は光ではなかった。ただ光について証しするために来たのである。
Good morning.
Good morning
How are you doing?
Good,
good, good. Good to see you all here today. Today we're going to begin a new series from the book of John, the Gospel of John. How many of you are familiar with the Gospel of John? Most of you may be, and most of you have heard of John. Just to clarify, this is different than John the Baptist. This is John the Apostle.And as we go through this gospel, you'll find, if you're familiar with the gospel, you'll find this particular gospel a little different than the other three gospels you might have heard from, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. His gospel is quite unique. I've heard there's no parables in his gospels. The way he presents his Gospels is a little different than the Synoptic. The other three are called the Synoptic Gospels. And this is personally my favorite Gospel. And it's my favorite only because when I first became Christian, my friend recommended that I read this book first. And so for those of you who've never picked up the Bible,and you're looking for somewhere to start, I recommend you start here. And if you're interested, please come back. Here's some more. Anyways, before we get into the first chapter of this book, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much.For your grace, we thank you for your mercy, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that we could come before you freely to worship you, just as we are. We thank you, Lord, that you did not come to judge the world, but to save it through your Son, Jesus Christ.And we pray now, Lord, that any accusing voices in our heads would stop, and that we would, for this moment at least, hear from you. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We ask that you would bring clarity, revelation, understanding, knowledge, wisdom. We ask that you would speak to us, guide us, direct us, strengthen us, encourage us, and fill us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come in a mighty way, in a powerful way. We invite your presence, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The Gospel of John. If you notice, it starts with the word "in the beginning." Now, when you hear, if you weren't reading the Gospel, if you heard that phrase "in the beginning" and you were biblically literate, what may come to mind?
Genesis.
Genesis. Oh, we got a smart one over here. Genesis, right? Exactly. And that's sort of the connection John wants to bring. In the beginning, most people believe. Most people may finish that sentence, "in the beginning," with "in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Here John begins his gospel with, "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." John will establish at least three things with this opening statement, and in this prologue to the gospel, he will establish also another three aspects of Jesus Christ. When he says, "in the beginning was the word here is, in the Greek, most of you may know, is logos. Interestingly enough, a word used by the philosophers of the day, meaning the communication or the expression, the spoken expression. And here John uses that word to begin to explain who Jesus Christ is or was and is. The word here is a lot of times, just to clarify, in certain Christian circles, people use the word synonymous with the Bible. You may hear the term, "I'm going to study the Word," and simply means, "I'm going to study the Bible." Here, John isn't trying to establish that in the beginning the Bible existed. He's trying to make a statement here. In the beginning, there was God. And with God, in verse 2 it says, "He was in the beginning with God," was another person, the full expression of God. And he was with God, and he was God in the beginning. That this word was present before even time existed. He stands outside of time. You don't necessarily get that in the English, but you'll get that in the Greek, that before time existed, there was the Word. The Word was distinct from God. It says, "and the Word was with God." Not the Word was simply God, but with God. "And the Word was God." Throughout the John's Gospel, he will make it clear that the Word is none other than Jesus Christ himself, the full expression of Jesus. And Jesus himself, throughout his ministry, will say, "If you have seen me, you have seen God the Father." The good news, the gospel, according to John, he wants to establish it's about this man, Jesus Christ, and he is the full expression of God. And I think he wanted to make that clear, because if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you might picture God in a slightly different light. The Old Testament God in its just in its casual reading may seem like an angry God, a vengeful God, a wrathful God. And I gotta admit, if I read the Old Testament just casually, yeah, that's what it looks like. And I believe John realized that. As a good Jewish man, he realized, wait, when I read the Old Testament, it's not consistent with what I encountered with Jesus Christ. And so he wants to make it clear that Jesus and God aren't, and God the Father, aren't two distinct different people. They're not playing good cop, bad cop. They are the same. And that's good news. As you read the gospel, you'll see the love of God shining through in Jesus Christ. That's pretty good news. That God is not vengeful. He is not wrathful. Although vengeance and wrath will come, that is not his desire. That is not the core of who he is. Moving on, it says, and all things were made through him. And without him, not anything was made. Not only is God, Jesus, the expression of God, but here John also establishes he is creator with God. He is creator. Through scripture, we find the idea that creation is a product of God. In the world, the idea is that creation was a product of chance, chaos, evolution, coming together. But here, John is establishing, no, creation, and all throughout scripture, creation is a product of God. Now, I'm not saying here John is challenging the notion of evolution. Although he does make a bold statement that the rightful claims to this earth belongs to him.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not going to rant about evolution today, so don't worry. Although, if you want to hear me rant about evolution, come see me afterwards. And if you're smart, you could probably destroy my arguments, but it goes without saying that creation is viable. It is a viable, people smarter than me subscribe to it. You don't need to have blind faith to believe that there is a creator. Even just scientifically speaking. But interestingly enough, Jesus is not only the agent of creation, but according to Colossians 1:17, he is also the one who holds everything together, that all creation was made by him and for him and held together because of him. It's an interesting statement in Colossians 1:17 that he's not just creator, but everything, every atom, molecule, particle, holds together because of Jesus Christ. Now that's also good news if you think about that. Everything in your life is held together by God. Not because of our creativeness, not because of our power, not because of our ability to hold things together. The very essence of life, everything is held together because of him. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
We can take comfort in knowing that a good God is in control. As bad as life may get, and I know for some of you, life has been hard. Some of you, life will get hard. And for hopefully some of us, the hardness of life has passed. but life will be hard. But in the hardship, in the chaos, seemingly chaos, in the corruption, we could take comfort in knowing that even in all of that, God is still in control. And He will not let you go. Moving right along, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Not only is He the expression of God, the Creator with God, but He is life. And that life was the light of man. Jesus is the author and perfecter of life. But the great thing is, not only does He possess life as we know it, but He possesses life beyond this one. Not only does He possess our life today, but tomorrow and forevermore. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. That's interesting, right? John is saying life and light, there's a connection to it. There's a connection between life and light. For those of you who are familiar with the Genesis account and the fall of Adam and Eve, you will notice that when they fell, then they realized they were naked. There's speculation that when they fell, they lost something physical that would cause them to say, hey, wait, we're naked. In the beginning, it said, God, when He created Adam and Eve, He created them in the likeness of God. And most of us, when we think of the likeness of God, we may think God is love. When we think of the likeness of God, we may think God is holy. But there's an aspect of God that John makes a connection to. In 1 John 1:5, he said, God is light. Isn't that interesting? And so when we fell and death came in, physically we may not have died. And we may not have lost the love that God has. You know, it goes without saying, whether you're Christian or not, there are some people who are just very loving. Right? Again, there are some people who value holiness, even if they don't know God personally. But there's an aspect of us that fell that we may not even realize isn't there because it hasn't been there ever since the fall. And it's this aspect of light. He says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. In Him was light. In Him was life. They say, even now, living organism emits light. Have you guys heard that before? Yeah? No? No? Come on. No. Yeah?
Yes.
Like our DNA actually emits light. You guys know that? You guys think I'm smart? No.
Yes.
My forehead is emitting light and you guys are getting blinded by it. No. That's not the light I'm talking about. But every being, organism, seems to emit light. Very dim, though. Very dim. It's interesting how the Bible, it describes that this life is but a shadow of what's to come. Again, they use the concept of light. It's but a shadow. You guys believe that? that there's a life beyond this one that far outweighs the one we're living in now. That there's a reality that eclipses this one, so that this, as great as it may get on this side, is but a shadow of what's to come. That that light is the life of man. And the great, wonderful news is that Jesus Christ came to reestablish that light. That He was the light of this world, the true light that will give life to all people. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. You know, honestly, maybe at 24, I wasn't ready for that. At 23, my life was okay. My body was still functioning very well. 10 years, I'm 38 now. I'm 38, yeah. If it's 23, that's 15 years. 15 years. And now I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And I know 30 years from now, I'll be even more ready.
Wait till you get to be 90.
what'd you say, Kenji? I just said that. That's right, wait till you get to 90. But Kenji, let me tell you, at 200, you're going to feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
Now, this is important, though. It's important because we are living in a day and age where technology is advancing to the rate of it's catching up with science fiction. And this is real stuff that people are cryogenically freezing their bodies in the hope that science will now be able to extend life. The rhetoric is that being able to live only 100, 120 years old is a shame in some scientific circles. That's rhetoric. And they're looking for the advancement, the new evolution, if you will, of humanity, where they will be able to live far beyond the 100, 120 years we're living now. But let me just tell you this. Don't put your hope in that. Don't put your hope in living forever in this body. Because in this body, death reigns. As beautiful as some of you may be, and my wife the most beautifulest of them all, still in this body, death reigns. And if you live beyond 100, 120 years, that just means death will continue to mature in our lives. And the fruit of death will continue to grow in our lives. But Jesus came to bring what's called eternal life. Far more than just living forever. Far greater than living life for 1,000 years. It's the quality of life. It's the quality that's so great that what we have now is but a shadow of what's to come. And in the Gospel of John, he will begin to unpack that. Let me finish with verse 5. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Some of your translation may say, "understood it," has not understood it. The first time the light, Jesus, came into the world, this man, John the Baptist, was the one who was supposed to explain what was happening. All men were to be saved through his witness and testimony. Today, as the church, we are now the ambassadors of Christ. We are here to explain. We are here to testify. We are here to be witnesses. Not only to do all of those things, but to reconcile people to God, to go in between. The light of life that Jesus manifested was not understood by the world. He was in the world, he created the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, but his own people didn't receive him. They will end up crucifying the light of this world. But again, as life is in the light, although the body was crucified, there was a resurrection of his body, a physical resurrection of his body. And though the darkness have not understood it, it neither overcame it. And so we live in a day and age where you can be a part of that life and have the life, eternal life. We still live in a day and age where you can have the decision to whether be a part of that life. That choice will not stay on the table forever. There'll be a time when that ship will sail. Whether because of time running out, or because of our hearts becoming more and more hardened. But right now, if you're sitting here, and if you have not made a decision to pursue what this light is, I encourage you, it is a worthy pursuit of your life. It is a promise of a life beyond this one. It is a promise of bringing a new heaven and a new earth in God's time. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to represent you and represent you to us, that we may know you in your fullness. That we know that you're in control, Lord. And that there is a life greater than the one we have now. Father, I pray if there is anyone in here who doesn't have a personal relationship with you, Jesus, that you would even now reveal yourself to them. Whether it's a physical pain right now, a physical burden on their heart, or just a supernatural peace and comfort, I pray that you would reveal yourself, Lord, especially to those who may not know you, but also to each and every one of us. We ask, Lord, that you would show yourself afresh and new to us again. That we would encounter you, Lord, and be moved by your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.